just step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 324. I'm Lisa Shepst, joined as usual by my wonderful co-host and glasses bearing Nicole Shiro. You're listening to us on KOOP, Hornsby Austin 91.7 FM, streaming live on the World Wide Web at koop.org. Stay with us. We will be right back.
Hurry, hurry, step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up. Feast your eyes on the wonders of this world.
It is Wednesday, August 26th, 2015. On the show today, we have the Vortex Theater and Ebony Stewart's show, one-woman show, Hunger. Also later on the show, we'll be talking to our very dear friend, City Theater, and their show, A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum. And of course, we'll have lovely and fascinating discussions about the world of theater in New York, Chicago, Austin, Louisiana, and Tim Buck, too. Don't go away. I don't know what's up with me today, Nicole Shiro.
Well, give me a corny tune.
It is a corny tune. We're going to talk about what tune that was in just a little second. But before we do that, I have to say hello. Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm okay. I cannot figure out, how do you wear glasses in these headphones?
It's not easy. But
no,
you, but
this
you,
is like a new talent I have to take
but
on.
But you will get used to it, my dear. And that's it. You know, I said glasses bearing, but what I meant to say was bespeckled.
That
sounds much better.
I like that one.
Yeah, but you know what? I don't write this stuff down ahead of time, which is shame on me.
Well, maybe I'll have to get out the bedazzler, and then I can be bedazzled
there you
and
go.
Bespeckled.
Bedazzled and bespeckled. You could bespeckle your bedazzlers.
Yoo-hoo!
So, well, good. So it's we're here for another week, and we're going to have fun.
Well, I have a question for you.
Would you ask?
How are you, Lisa?
You know what? I'm good.
You are?
I'm getting over the fact that my dog has problems with me.
Why does she have problems with you?
She doesn't like me. She thinks
she woke up and Sophie said, "That's it. I've had enough."
She's been this way for a while. It's very tragic. I'm working it out with my therapist. So
okay. Let me know how that goes.
We're gonna get there. Poor little Sophie. So. What a great show with Remix.
Yes.
We love that Tracy Schultz. Oh, and speaking of other shows, you guest hosted on Austin Artist Show on Monday.
I did.
And you you talked to...
Janet Adderley.
Right, who started a new school here.
Her daughter, Alana Adderley, yes, with the new Janet Adderley School. I believe it's theadderleyschool.com.
No, when I open a school, I'm going to call it the Lisa Shepst School.
Well, you should. And I have to tell you, what a wonderful group, wonderful bunch of ladies. I mean, besides being talented.
WBOLs, we call those.
Just great energy, and it was a really good time, and I appreciate Quentin letting me come on here and play on his show that afternoon. And,
yeah, well, good.
Yeah.
See, pretty soon you'll be able to.
I'm going to take it all over. I'm going to
this show.
I'm going to move here and get a Murphy bed and never leave.
As a reminder to folks, directly after the broadcast, stick around if you are listening to the podcast, and you should be listening to the podcast.
Absolutely, there's lots of reasons.
There are many, many reasons, but we walk out of the studio, we go backstage, and we talk to our guests in the backstage lot. In the segment called Backstage at Offstage, where we learn a little bit about our guests.
We do. We get a little crazy there. Yeah. And we get the answer to a fun segment that happens on this show.
Right. Well, you get the answer to the trivia quiz question that we posed to you at the end of the first section.
I mean, that's exciting, Lisa.
It is. And speaking of guests.
Yes.
We have a bevy full here.
I know.
Actually, this is a relatively small crowd for us.
The way we've been rolling these days with like the traveling show. This is totally random, but I have to ask you.
Love random.
Have you noticed the circus trains parked down the road?
They're gone.
Are they gone?
They left
now?
Yesterday.
Okay, but I've been passing them, and I'm like, oh, does Lisa?
Our Michael Klinkscales is here in the house.
Hello.
Say hello. And you need to get really close to that microphone. And he just made a face when we said circus. Are you a circus enjoyer?
Yeah.
Even the ones that use the animals.
I think I love them when I didn't know what the animals went was. Through.
Exactly. Like, the innocence of just, oh, wow.
Exactly. But I do love, like, a good circus clown.
Good. Let me introduce everybody so that so that people know who we're talking to. Ebony Stewart is
here. What up?
What up? I'm up.
Yes. I see you. Hi, Bo. Yeah.
Becky Musser, welcome back to the show.
Hello.
Another newcomer to the show, Mr. Carl Gonzalez.
Close enough.
In here it says C-A-R, and I knew I forgot some.
That's actually a first, Car Gonzalez.
My racism, I went straight to Carlos.
There is another mic here.
Carl, there is another microphone right there, and you can use that one too, so that we're not sharing too much. The whole circus thing last year when the circus came to town, and the train is right over at Springdale and Airport,
on the way here,
near Ground Floor Theater, and I saw them offloading the elephants.
Oh, you did. See, it was empty. I love the elephant there every time
but
I passed it.
But no, if you have to be there early in the morning. You have to, like me, like that, I go to work very early. Ringling Brothers. So the official weather for today, according to the National Weather Service, is hot.
Too darn hot.
Too darn hot. What show is that from?
Kiss Me, Kate.
There you go. That was a quiz. You won.
Okay. I thought you were looking at me like you didn't know. I'm like, I know you know that. You like that song.
I know.
You like that show.
So did you like that little piece of music that I played?
I did, Lisa. It was a corny tune.
Did you recognize the singer?
Yeah, I did recognize the singer, but I'm having a total brain. It sounds like
anybody
it's
else?
Elaine,
oh, most people did.
But it's not.
I could see why you would say Elaine.
It's not. That's why I threw off.
She had a triumphant film role in a little movie called All About Eve.
Oh,
anybody?
Was it really
Betty Davis?
That's what I'm looking at you going. Was it really
Betty Davis in a show called Two's Company, which I hadn't known about? It's done with sketches by Charles Sherman and Peter DeVries. The lyrics to most of the songs were written by Ogden Nash. We were talking about him last year.
Last week.
The Golden Treasury of Ogden Nashery.
Dun, 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 dun.
Hello. Anyway, so this was a vehicle for Betty Davis. Oh, by the way, the other lyricist in the show was Sammy Kahn, but...
You know.
Sammy Kahn is no Ogden Sammy. Nash.
A vehicle for... Was this
Betty
before,
Davis.
I know it was a vehicle for Betty Davis, but this is before Betty Davis was really big.
No,
Betty Davis,
it was a vehicle after All About Eve.
Oh, so this was a vehicle for it. Theatrical endeavors.
So she accepted this role. She accepted to do this when, after All About Eve, she didn't get a whole bunch of new work. So she decided to do this. But it's really interesting. I have to read some of this because this is... it's just sort of interesting. So this is straight from Wikipedia, so you know it's true.
100%.
It is the source. The out-of-town tryouts opened at the Schubert Theater in Detroit in 1952. In the middle of the third chorus of her first song, an overworked Davis collapsed. Revived by her then-husband, Gary Merrill, she walked to the apron of the stage and with a smile commented to the audience, "Well, you can't say I didn't fall for you."
Well, you know what? It's kind of spectacular.
Win them over. The critics were not that good to them.
She didn't make my trivia book. I thought maybe there was something good in here. But
so the Broadway opening was set for December 4th, but she was exhausted.
Sick.
Oh, okay.
I'm acting for you.
That's excellent. Anyway, it was postponed. But it ran for 60 performances, something like that. They had to close early because she was exhausted again.
Oh my gosh, I was like, did she get...
Poor thing. Anyway, but that was that's why I played that.
That was a good choice.
I enjoyed that. Thank you, thank you. It's called Two's Company. We had one relatively big opening that happened this week. Did anybody follow... why do I have a problem with his name? His first name, Cumberbatch?
Benedict?
Benedict, thank you. Why do I have a problem with that? Mm-hmm. Benedict Cumberbatch is opening in London on a production of Hamlet?
Yes.
Anybody else other than...
Well, there's been a lot of hubbub.
There's been a lot of hubbub.
And not even just about the acting for so many different reasons. Long before...
Well, most of the reasons were him. What other reasons were there?
They did the big, we talked about this controversy back with the Spider-Man. They were reviewing this show in previews.
Yes, they did. They did review that. There were a couple of people reviewed them before they were asked.
Then there was a lot of phone calling. The whole show was videotaped and aired. Then there was a lot of him going, oh, I don't care, videotape it. And they're all like, no, you can't say that. There's been a lot of, he's been in the media every day. Then lines around the corner, the amount of tickets and people wanting to wait for a day. I think the first preview night, people camped out for 3 or 4 days.
Yeah, and it's mostly because of his appeal as a star.
Yes.
But interestingly enough,
I think that's a lot of hubbub.
Was a lot of hubbub. There was an awful lot of hubbub.
Yeah.
Well, and they also had the whole thing about the moving of the to be or not to be monologue.
Right.
And it was moved unmoved and then removed.
But they like the critics liked where it finally ended up.
Yes.
Which is not at the very opening. Interestingly enough, you might not understand the think about this show as being an off-Broadway show, but it was an off-Broadway show.
Who knew?
It's not really an off-Broadway show. But it was in Did He Like It?
They put it as off-Broadway.
Right, because I think there's only two choices.
Yeah, well, he needs to make an Over the Pond. I saw that too, and I was like, buddy, that's not working. That's not off-Broadway. How did Benedict go from the UK to here?
Did He Like It? It was a neutral review, but if this was neutral, honey, he slammed this show. But he did like both... what's his name? Cumberbatch.
Benedict. Like the Arnold.
I know. And the co-star, the woman that played Ophelia, and her name is somebody I didn't know. Her name is... I have it here. I just... That's
Goofericious. So do
anyway,
I.
Anyway, but he said that during the monologues that they have in the soliloquies, these two performances shine. But the person that took the most heat was the director. She took a lot of... liberties with it. Her name is Lindsay Turner. So in the Guardian review written by Michael Billington, he calls it a rag bag of a production by Lindsay Turner that is full of half-baked ideas. Denmark, Hamlet tells us, is a prison. So too is this production.
Ouch.
Oh my Lord.
Cyan Brook. That's Ophelia.
Yes. Cyan. C-I-A-N.
S-I-A-N. Cyan? Cyan? I'm not sure.
And the pictures.
Mrs. Brooke.
The Guardian had a photo essay on it. It looks beautiful, but evidently not so much.
Oh, there's video out there. Sadly, I feel bad. Did you read the Times review? All they did was compare him to every other famous person who's played Hamlet. Last seen Jude Law. Before, when we saw Benedict, he was playing opposite Johnny Lee Miller. I'm like, okay.
Well, there was one paragraph that said that.
There are different paragraphs. Yeah,
this paragraph right here. But anyway, you're right. It wasn't. It was a sort of a.
It didn't really. It wasn't an article about a review. It was just an article about.
Well, this was. I'm reading the review. It was definitely a review.
Well, yeah. I can't get out what I'm trying to say.
Anyway, so the Guardian was not very generous at all. I don't know why. Let me see what I noted this paragraph to read, so I'm going to read it. And we'll see what it is. Cumberbatch, in short, suggests Hamlet's essential decency, but he might have given us infinitely more if he were not imprisoned by a dismal production that elevates visual effects above the narrative coherence and exploration of character. Which is sort of what Hoji said as well.
Yeah. And by the way, I was reading the Times. That's why you and I were... Oh, you're saying the one thing. There's multiple...
Anyway, well, let's not argue about it.
No, let's not. That's silly. It's Benedict. That's ridiculous.
But anyway, so it's a limited run. Anyway, so that's that.
Hey, I'm going to say the producers are happy. They're
Do we think it's going to make it to New York?
I don't know.
I'm going to say no.
No, I don't know.
So what would you like to speak about?
Oh, you know, well, let's start with Hugh, because he always makes me happy.
You like Hugh.
I love Hugh. He is taking his one-man show that was Hugh Jackman on Broadway, and he is now going to do it in Australia, and he is going to entitle it Broadway to Oz and do the same show, which was so freaking awesome. That man... is amazing.
You like him.
I love him. So he's going to do it. He's not just doing it in Sydney. He was going all over. Oh, he's in Melbourne. Then he goes to Sydney, then to Brisbane, and then to Adelaide. So he's going all
what was
around.
That what was the last place he was going?
Adelaide.
Adelaide. A poison can develop a coif. Sorry, had to go there.
And so Warren Carlyle, who's a nice Tony winner who directed it and did the show with him here in New York, is going to join the party and go down under and do it with Hugh.
Lovely.
Yes, lovely, I have to tell lovely. You, it really was just a spectacular evening, and I'm very excited for all the Aussies that will get the chance to see him.
Yay. Well, me as well. Well, I tell you, when you sent that to me, I saw Hugh Jackman, and I saw Oz in the
You
link.
Were thinking it was Boy to Oz.
I thought he was coming back and doing the Boy from Oz.
I know.
Oz again.
I you want to know what? I had a little bit of get out, my baby's coming to Rio, and then I was like, no.
I would love to see that come back because I didn't get to see it the first time.
You know
around.
What? I would love to see it come back so that you could see it.
There you go. So there was also an article, and I don't think I printed it out, but I just thought it'd be fun to talk about, especially with our guests here. It was an article about, you know, all of us are performers, and at the bottom of our resume, what's the last little thing that says at the bottom of your resume?
Special skills.
Special skills. And what, so I thought it'd be fun, and I meant to, and I'm looking for it now on my computer. I was looking for my old acting resume. It's been so many years to see
you
what
wanted
my special,
to see what yours
I remember
were?
What some of mine were, but what are some of your special skills that you either have on your resume now or when you first started in the business? What are some of your special skills?
Juggling's
on mine. That's
ukulele player.
Oh, ukulele.
I have.
I'm really bad at it, though.
No, the special skill says nothing about
how good you are
proficiency.
At it.
Yeah,
puppetry.
Well, yes, of course. We expect. So, what about others? Who else?
The things I wish were on there is like eating cupcakes. I feel like that's a
that's a good
ooh,
one.
That's a good yeah. one.
That's a
imitations
good one.
Of my mother. I feel like I can do that
that's
really
a
well.
Really good one.
Oh, no. but oh, yeah, I guess like sleeping, being like too honest, maybe.
Oh,
I think.
Does that say that on your resume?
No, but oh. Those are things that I wish.
Oh, I
had traveling on there.
Okay, ooh. So my very first one was juggling.
Juggling, yes, juggling's a good one, man.
Fire eating.
Oh, that's a good one, Lisa.
Clowning. Driving.
Oh, yes.
No, that's in New York. I lived
that's
in New York
good.
At the time.
That's
so
actually
that was
important.
That's actually a really good one. I'm sort of embarrassed about this one. Mime.
Lisa,
yes.
Mine's on there
can
too.
I say that?
Yeah, you're gonna have to do some stuff for us.
And then, of course, funny faces.
I like funny et
cetera.
Faces. Et cetera.
Yeah, I had
et cetera,
to have
et cetera.
Carl, what are some of your special skills that you have on yours?
I play guitar and I play bass, but I think one of my more funny ones is that I can actually scream like a 12-year-old girl.
Okay. Oh, that's
can
another
you,
good
can
one.
You step back away from the microphone and do that
for
us?
I was really afraid that was going to come up.
Come on, do it. Here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Carl Gonzalez doing his imitation of a 12-year-old girl screaming.
That was
pretty good, actually.
That was more like a 56-year-old woman screaming.
I mean, it's not a 28-year-old man screaming, so that's yes. probably
well, maybe.
Becky, what about you?
Well, I have a list of instruments that I can play on there. That's actually its own little section. But I also have that I can move each of my eyebrows independently.
Oh.
That's another good one.
Let's right. see. Radio audiences love that. Yep. Yeah.
Yep.
Right? Because they can ooh. Totally yeah. tell that I'm doing that
yeah,
through
they
the radio.
Can. Well, they
no, it's
the,
impressive.
Yeah. So that's cool. So I'm glad. You went through yours. Do you have anything like wacky crazy on yours, Nicole?
No, mine was on mine too, hilariously, in the juggling, traveling. Yeah. No, mine
juggling, I think, is something.
Oh, roller skating I had on there.
Ooh. Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Can you go backwards and everything?
I can. I can shoot the duck. I was hardcore at the roller rink, man. Don't. Love me the roller skates.
Did anybody not have juggling on there?
I did not.
Okay. I have no idea how to juggle, even to begin.
I could teach you. Cool. I came this close to going to clown college.
I was like, you wanted to go to the clown. I had my commedia. I went to the high school performing arts and my commedia dell'arte class, man. I just loved that.
There you go. Mm.
Loved it. That's where I learned to juggle.
Okay. Your turn.
Okay. Matilda, were you excited about this at all?
Well, I mean, it's been in the works for a while, but it's moving forward.
Yes. So,
tell folks what you're talking about.
Matilda the Musical, another one of my obsessions in life. I, you know, they haven't said if they cast Millie Shapiro, but I think they should in case they're listening. But they're going to make a movie of it. They discussed that. But it's now getting pushed up and should start. They're already in pre-production and it should start shooting next fall. Next fall, I think.
But they don't have any deets about it.
No deets at all, for Matthew Warkus is directing it. And he's already in pre-production. Filming end of next year. So I don't know if that's fall or December or what. But I don't know. That's pretty exciting.
And you know, I listen when I'm sitting working in my at my computer. I listen to AccuRadio on the Broadway channel.
And you love the Revolting Children, don't you?
I do love the Revolting Children.
I do too.
They're only a handful of songs that they just play over and over and over again. And Matilda seems to be one of their favorite ones.
Great show.
Yeah. There's the song, the Telly song.
Oh, the Telly song.
I don't know if I've played it on this show before, but we're going to play it again.
You haven't?
Pretty soon.
I don't think
everything
we have.
I learned from Telly.
It's Gabriel Ebert. I love Gabriel. He won the Tony for that role.
Lovely.
And he was bananas in Casa Valentina.
I love how you own all these people.
I do. I own all of them.
Forrest Whitaker is making...
I put them on the shelf.
You do. Forrest Whitaker is making his Broadway debut. Did you see that?
I did see that. And I was shocked. For some reason, I felt like he has been on the Broadway before.
You would think
before.
he's got that sort of air
chops
about him that he,
to him.
That,
yes,
that he would have been a Broadway actor, but he's
consummate
not.
Actor kind of thing.
Yeah, but he is. He's doing. It seems like we're talking a lot about Eugene O'Neill lately.
Yeah,
and
Eugene,
he's doing Huey.
You know why? Because he saw Radiohead was working on the other Eugene O'Neill, and he was like, "Let me join the party of the
O'Neillness."
Forrest
Whitaker likes his Radiohead.
Forrest must love Radiohead. You know.
Yeah. So he's going to be doing Huey, which is a shorter play by Eugene O'Neill. And I'm going to try to figure out where he's doing it. It's going to be done. It's produced by Darren Bergert and the Schubert Organization. Oh, they don't have a date or a theater for the opening, but it's next spring at a Schubert Theater. Voila. So have you been following either in the Twitterverse or online about the lack of diversity of women and playwrights of color that have been on Broadway and in London? Have you seen any of that?
No.
Huge article in The Guardian earlier in the week, and then it spouted a whole bunch of flurry on social media. You're shaking your head.
Oh, yeah,
You've been reading about it?
Yeah, a little bit, because I remember seeing a thing when the Manhattan Theater Club announced their season. There was a huge backlash.
Well, because they announced the Manhattan Theater Club, do I have the right company? That they announced early because they do have female playwrights in their season.
Well, I think, I don't know, I remember there was one where it was entirely white males.
Most are white males here. But it was interesting to read, and I've just started doing this. I never usually read comments.
The comments are the fun part sometimes.
But they're so awful.
They're really awful.
And most of them, all of them, almost 100% were, you know, stop being politically correct. African-Americans make up 12% of the population. There are 12% of the plays are written by people of color. And it's like, really? Are you really going there? It's like all of them were so negative. I just thought that was awful. But the interesting thing is, even in England, it's 2-1.
Really?
Mm-hmm. 2-1 white male.
I'm surprised by that. That's not the number. It's not what I would have thought.
That being said, the public, and they're really talking plays and not musicals, because obviously we have Hamilton right now. Mm-hmm. We've got Deaf West's Spring Awakening that's going to be opening soon with, that's not a person of color or female demographic, but it's an underrepresented community. Mm-hmm. We have Fun Home, which has got a lot of women involved. And one of the things they talked about was the Tonys last year and how Tesori won the Tony, but that was not aired on the big...
No, it was not.
So there's your powerful women that are getting some awards, but we don't... The most of the public doesn't see them because they're relegated to the off-broadcast times.
Yeah, I want to... Yeah.
Anyway, that said, you have time to do like one more really quick one, and then we really should go straight to the trivia question.
Let me just go to the trivia question.
We're going to go to the trivia question. So to remind our audience, we give a trivia question. If y'all here know it, don't shout it out, because we're going to give the answer at Backstage at Offstage, which you can get on our website, offstageonair.com, or at iTunes or Stitcher.
All right. Well, I try to find something that we talk about or our guests, and I have one today on a funny thing happened on the way to the forum. So now, yes,
go on.
And if you really don't know it, So it wasn't until 1962 that Broadway finally heard Sondheim's music, and a funny thing happened on the way to the forum, which ran for 964 performances. With a jam-packed libretto by Bert Shevlov and Larry Gebhardt after the Roman comedies of Plautus, the show was a vaudevillian style farce with Zero Mostel romping. I can never say these names, guys. Pseudolus, thank you. The slave. Forum took years to reach Broadway, shuffling through producers, directors. Abbott was finally the directing credit. Jerome Robbins was in it. However, when Robbins did critical doctoring during out-of-town tryouts, his most valuable suggestion was to replace the opening number with something more in keeping with the frenetic, hilarious tone of the show. Sondheim's solution was Comedy Tonight, which let the audience know exactly what they were going to get. What song did Comedy Tonight replace?
Ooh.
A. Invocation. B. Once Upon a Time. C. The Echo Song. D. Love Is in the Air. And E. I Do Like You.
That is a great question.
I know, I liked it. And then they had
That's a great question. I love that question.
Edit,
so we will get the answer at the very beginning of Backstage at Offstage. We've got some.
I got you excited about
a question.
That's
a good one.
Today.
I love that one.
Exciting.
That was lovely. So the last thing I want to talk about is the thing that you you sent me, which was a clip, or it's a music video. Jennifer Hudson
made me cry.
And what's her name? The co-star.
Oh my goodness! Begins with.
She's
a
new. She's new. This is the
Cynthia Erivo. She's in UK version right now.
So they are coming in with the revival of Color Purple,
one of my faves.
And this was a beautiful piece. Thank you for sending that to me.
I literally was crying so hard. The music in this show just touches me along with the story, and I had to keep wiping the tears because of the joy of the beauty of it. Sending this to you.
So it's a music video. So it's done sort of like a music video would be done with Jennifer Hudson and
Cynthia
in the recording studio, and you see the recording engineer. But then they cut to the play. And it's the song Color Purple. It's really beautiful. And there is, hopefully it will work on our site. I put a link to the video. I'm not sure if it's going to work or not, but here's what it sounded like. Okay, we are back. You're listening to Offstage and on the Air on KOOP, Hornsby, Austin. We are talking on the show today with our Michael Klinkscales, Becky Musser, sorry, Becky, Carl Gonzalez, and Ebony Stewart. Before we go on, it's something I forgot to mention at the very top of the show, and we just heard it a little bit. Our membership drive starts next week.
That's kind of exciting.
So we want a really good showing from our Offstage and On the Air listeners to come in and support this radio station with a membership gift. And then you'll also, if you, you'll be in the
drawing with
an Apple Watch.
Man, and you get the Apple Watch.
I want an Apple
drawing
Watch.
Chance.
I just like apples. The fruit.
Yeah, but you have been hot for the Apple Watch.
I'm hot. That's just because I'm hot. So before we talk about the hungry, is it hungry or
hungry? It's hunger.
Hunger.
It is hunger.
Are you hungry?
I am.
No.
No.
You're not.
Before we talk about hunger, I'm going to give you a little job.
Okay.
I need you to choose a number between 2 and 44.
Oh, 22.
22. Okay. We'll see. Well, we're going to just get this little piece of business over with before we start doing anything. We're going to find out.
Hi, I'm former Massachusetts Congressman Barney Frank, and you're listening to Offstage and On the Air on Austin's KOOP 91.7 FM.
Barney Frank. How's
we
that?
We've heard that one.
We have not. That's the very first time we've heard Barney Frank. Because, you know, you may not remember him when he did the, he did 1776. He played John Adams.
Yeah.
Crickets. He didn't really. Okay. let's talk to Ebony. Ebony is about to open in her one-woman show, Hunger, at the Vortex Rep. Yeah. Tell us about it.
Basically, it's just me giving, what would I say, getting over my daddy issues.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe you all have great fathers. Congratulations. but
and if you did, we're not talking to you.
Right.
I'm going to have to use
not even
that.
In this
that
conversation.
Was good.
But yeah, like it's just me letting go. I'm tired of holding on to it, his mistakes, what he left me with, and I just need to start getting in a place of forgiveness. And I think that looks many different ways, and this is just one of the ways that I'm trying to work on forgiving him for not being in my life.
Now, you are a poet, I know.
I am.
And is this show done, is there a lot of poetry that happens in the show?
I would say so. There, you can tell very clearly when I go into like a spoken word cadence, if you will, and then going back into a monologue storytelling type of thing.
Yep. So, so this is sort of good. So you're basically taking a cathartic. You know, you're using theater as a cathartic catharsis.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's cheaper than therapy.
Yes, I know, it is. You know?
Well, let's.
How
hope
is
so.
It putting it together? So. I mean, it's got to be emotionally draining.
Yeah.
You're on stage by yourself.
I am.
You've also written it and put it together, so it's a lot of stuff that's teaming up.
The process of writing it actually was easy. Except for when you go and you try to cut stuff up or you want to piece things together, you got to figure out what you really want, what you want to toss away, how much do you want to give yourself to the people that are going to be there, what's a safe place for yourself, how do you know how far you want to go. So it's been easy, but it's also been emotionally draining, as you said, and it's also been rewarding for me to remember those memories and relive that for myself. And just to show that I made it out, or I survived, and I'm still able to love and be a slightly regular human being, you know? It's
like, what's that like?
Well, we're still figuring it out.
Yeah. how long have you been working on this piece? And don't say your whole life.
No, I haven't been working it well.
I know.
Right. Yeah. But, I mean, we're talking about my daddy, so since birth. But I would say I started writing for it maybe last year sometime, and then started revisiting the idea and piecing it together and getting really serious about it this whole entire summer. So,
did you know when you started, just when the gem hit you that you were going to do this? Did you know that it was that you were going to that this was going to be a public performance that you were going to end up with?
No, I really also, I thought I was going to write about the fact that I had surgery and that I had a mass on one of my ovaries. I thought I was going to write about that process and that it was going to come out. But I really feel like, I don't know, the work writes itself sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. So it took a turn, obviously.
Tells you what,
that's
yeah,
interesting.
Kind of tells you what it's going to. And I think just for me, all the hurt that was built up and the pain that of me laying there for 6 weeks or, you know, not being able to really bend down and pick things up as much brought me back to a lot of, you know, the body is a memory.
Stuff.
You know, so it just picked up all the other stuff and gave it to me all at once. Yeah.
Wow, so now this is going to be done at the Vortex.
The Vortex.
And you know, Bonnie has just been Bonnie Cullum over the Vortex. Really,
hi,
really,
Bonnie.
Hey, Bonnie. Shout out to Bonnie.
Hey, Bonnie.
Love
the Bonnie.
We love her because she takes a lot of chances.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it sounds like this is a piece that takes chances.
Yeah.
And so you're taking chances, and it's tough to bury yourself in front of an audience. Have you been in this position before?
Well, I've worked with Zell Miller III before. He's the director.
We love Zell.
Yeah, yes. Zell's great. And I really trust him with my work, and I know that he trusts me. So I've been in other stuff of his when he did for Color Girls here. He did a show called Windows here. So he's done a lot of work that I've been able to be a part of. So I think I kind of just was ready for it to happen, but not.
Right.
That makes sense. Well, yeah.
Okay.
That makes sense. It's the app. But I was wondering what it was like with your own personal experiences and work and having someone else directing you, like when those are such personal.
Yeah. Could you see that? I could see some arguments if like as a director, and I might see a piece that theatrically I'm going to want you to go in this direction, but
you're like, that is not how I felt. Like, so how do
You know, Zell and I work really well together, and we've known each other since, I think, like 2007, 2008, maybe. And he's a really great father, so he doesn't know what it's like to not have one.
Understand.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So there are some things that we did go back and forth about, but mostly he was really gentle and careful. And since he knows me so well, he can tell when I'm about to break down or I'm like, okay, listen, I can't, right? There's certain movements, there's parts in there about my grandmother, and there's certain movements that he wanted me to do. And because he's the director, I wanted to let him direct.
Right.
But then I was just like, my eyes were just watering up. I was just like, that movement, I'm going to try it though. I'm going to try it. But that movement was so attached to something else for me. And so he was just like, don't even do it. Just stick with what you got. It's fine. And so I really appreciated that because I feel he was careful, but he also pushed and challenged me to step outside of myself too.
There you go. Yeah. Do you, would you be willing to share a little bit of the piece with us here on the air?
Yeah, I bought some stuff.
Excellent.
If you stay ready, you ain't got to get ready. Okay.
Okay. So this is Ebony Stewart performing a piece from her one-woman show, Hunger.
A dedication poem for the ones who grew up without their fathers. We are so hungry for the loving. We feed our hearts to the sun. Trace our lips along the edges of bodies, but forget our own. There's a possibility of us happening every time a woman lets a man meander between her legs. The sweat of, do you love me, rolls down her back. We are the answer wiped away from his brow, yes or no, but not enough to stay. We make our mother's bellies sound like helicopters chopping speech. Swallow all that wind, child. That's what he left you with. That's why you so hungry. Belly round, you full of nothing but the want. Got a whole state, a continent of yous all wanting, all like baseboards and buckling floors. You keep lying. Say you found your calm. Say you unpacked all that anger. Moved far away, did you? Say you don't live next to all those hurtful memories and pain. Yo, then why you walk like somebody forgot to tell you they love you, huh? Why you got your fist balled up? Why you search like that's the new dance move, huh? Why you got patience the size of a finger snap, a toe tap? Oh, you a drummer. You always did have a thing for drummers. You banging all the hurt out. Last week could have sworn you was hip hop. Nah, you was a ballerina the way you faked the grace, bend and fold, point plie up. Nah, you be modern. Make those spins sound like jazz, classical even. But ain't nobody a fan of you, lonely girl, because ain't nobody looking for you, lonely girl.
Wow.
That was good.
Yeah.
I'm kind of like...
I got nothing. That's beautiful. Thank you. That's beautiful. And that's such... what a great message to your... Well, not a great message. It's what a fulfilling message to yourself that you're giving. So thank you for sharing that with us.
Thank
Absolutely.
You.
So when does the show open?
This show opens on Thursday.
Thursday.
August 27th, which is tomorrow.
And plays for when? How long?
Till September 5th. So it's 6 shows total.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it's at the Vortex.
The Vortex.
Where can folks go to get more information?
Vortexrep.org.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so
thank
much
you
for
so
joining
much.
Us.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
And thank you so much for sharing that piece. I'm so glad we got
thank
to that because it
yep.
really, it's really, really beautiful. I can't wait to see the show.
Yay.
Okay, that was Ebony Stewart. Her show, Hunger, opens at the Vortex Rep on August 27th and plays through September 5th for 6 shows only. And again, it is at the Vortex. For more information, vortexrep.org. How beautiful was that?
That was really awesome. I know. I'm like, we go. The color purple gets me worked up. Then we hear this. It gets me a little worked
up. We're about getting beclimped.
I know.
That's going to be an incredible show over at the Vortex. And, you know, I just love the work over there.
I do, too.
Yep. That's it.
I'm doing 2 thumbs up.
Two thumbs
no one
up.
See it, but you guys in the studio can
we
verify
it.
That.
It, yeah. So locally, I just want to, before we go to what you were going to say, and oh, you know what? I printed something but didn't bring it. I forgot it. I just want to remind folks that Forever Plaid is playing the last week at Ground Floor Theater. And then also, Teatro Vivo. And I forgot the names of their pieces. They're playing this weekend and next weekend.
The 3 pieces with Rio, Crossing the Rio and some others.
Yes, and some others. But anyway, they were on last week, so I want to just remind folks to
I did good pulling one
you
out.
You did good, Crossing the Rio. What do you have for us?
First, I have to say I was incorrect earlier when I referred to Radiohead. He's doing a Pinter show, so I don't know why I said O'Neill again.
I don't like being wrong.
Nobody would have known anything if you didn't.
Yeah,
point
there's
it out.
People listening going, she doesn't know what she's talking about. I did said the wrong thing. Gustav by Anton Chekhov. This is directed and adapted by Graham Schmidt, who we've had on our show here before. But he took the old Chekhov stories and did a small little show with it, playing over. It closes this weekend. It's over at the Salvage Vanguard Theater, BreakingString.com.
Breaking String Theaters, they're good.
Yes.
So I'm just going to jump right into. I'm going to just suggest that there was a. The piece that I was going to bring in was an Indian piece, and I forgot the name of it. It's not a name that I can remember, but I saw it on Now Playing Austin.
I didn't see that. I would have brought that in.
It looks beautiful. It just looks gorgeous.
Yeah.
And it has a very exotic name, and I apologize.
Maybe we can put it on our website.
I'll put a link on at offstageonair.com. You ready for Today in Theater History?
I am so ready. Okay. I have been counting down till today.
Take yourself back to 1880.
That was,
remember?
Oh, that was a hot year.
Yeah. Well, that was the birthday of Philip Mohler.
Mueller?
Mueller, something.
Mueller.
M-O-E-L-L-E-R.
Mahler.
You know him, right?
Yes. Yep. He's my neighbor.
He's a director. He was a director and a producer, but he did produce things that Morning Becomes Electra, speaking of Eugene O'Neill, and Ah Wilderness.
Do you know Electra is my fake name I give people when I go out? They're like, you know then what? They're annoying me, and they're like, what's your name? I'm like, Electra.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Well, interesting. Ah Wilderness was my sorority name in college.
We're going there today. Okay.
Anyway, so it's his birthday. Also born today in 1904, a mere 24 years later, was Clifford Bradshaw. And Clifford Bradshaw is written in quotations because his real name is Christopher Isherwood. He wrote the Berlin Stories.
Yes.
Which turned into what?
One cabaret.
No, before that, it turned into what?
It turned not.
I am a camera.
I am a camera, and then cabaret.
Then cabaret.
Yes.
Yeah. So I thought.
I was like Clifford Bradshaw. That's the character, but I like the quotation marks. Ah ha ha! Yeah, I didn't know he called himself that too, though. Isherwood. Interesting.
Anyway, so in 1918, this I think is very sort of interesting, and I may just read the whole thing. But Lightning.
ING or.
I-N
apostrophe.
Yeah, you will not hear me not pronounce ing as an ing. Lightning. It's billed as a live wire American comedy, opened tonight, and it had a record-breaking Broadway run.
How many? Half the show?
Well, no, it's interesting. It's let me tell you what it's about. It's okay. About a wise-cracking slowpoke.
That's interesting.
With an actor who it seems like we should know, named Bacon, originating the title role of Lightning Bill Jones.
Bacon?
Bacon.
Bacon's in Lightning?
You can't make this up. He and his wife operate a hotel that's half in California, half in Nevada, to accommodate Californians looking for a quick divorce.
Okay,
so evidently
hilarious.
They come into the living room and they get divorced in the dining room.
Hilarious.
But when Mary decides to take advantage of the situation to divorce Lightning, comedy ensues. Will Rogers played Lightning in a film version.
There's a film version
There's
of Lightning?
There's evidently a film version from 1930.
You know I'm going to turn on TV and it's going to be on one of these random cable stations. I'm going to be texting you, Lightning's on.
This was the longest running play for 2 decades.
What?
It ran for 1,000 performances and it was a huge hit. But nobody's ever heard of it.
Today you are fascinating me, Lisa. You are fascinating me.
So this
today.
Is also the birthday of Michael Jeter.
Oh!
Who I had the pleasure of working with on Cloud 9.
I was like, you got to work with him,
didn't
you?
Yeah, he's a really wonderful, wonderful man. Very, very kind.
I saw him in the Grand Hotel.
And I was just talking to, Patty Neftivin about a Carol Churchill play. And we were talking about Cloud 9, et cetera, et cetera.
Et cetera, et cetera.
Let's see. And then speaking of Cloud 9 in 1997... Carol Shelley assumed the role of Boo Levy in Alfred Urey's Tony-winning play, The Last Night of Ballyhoo.
Oh.
Why, speaking of Cloud 9? Because Carol Shelley was also in Cloud 9.
Wasn't she in the movie?
No, she was in the play. Sorry, I did.
I got moved. My brain is not functioning.
Alfred Urey, who wrote the play, also wrote the libretto for Parade.
Oh.
Voila.
We are bringing
all
it all together
all
today.
And this is interesting. In 2004, I do not remember this. But it was in the year that the Republican National Convention came to New York, and there was a handful of plays that the Republican convention were allowed, sanctioned plays that the Republican conferees could go to. Aida, Phantom, I'm going by memory now.
I don't even know what
all the
to
ones
say
you
this.
Would think they were allowed to go to, they were allowed to go to. Well, I don't remember this, but there was a group called, oh, and it's not written in here, but it's called
See the Plays?
I forgot the name of it. They were pressuring the actors from those plays to walk out and not do the show on those matinee days because the Republican National Committee bought out all of those theaters that had these shows. And Equity posted on their website, it said, and I will quote, Actors Equity, the national union representing actors and stage managers in the U.S., has advised its members working on Broadway to report to work as usual during the upcoming Republican National Convention in New York City. Oh, it's called Shut It Down New York City, which still exists because I looked them
up
today.
Say, don't they exist because they've been in the news for other stuff.
Yep. Yep. So I just thought that was very interesting. I couldn't remember that. And
I don't remember any
The shows
of that.
Did go on, although the Republican conferees were heckled outside the theater, which, you know, however you want to say about Republicans, I don't think that's very
I don't
nice.
Think any of that is very nice, whether I like them or not. Everyone Agreed. Has the right to see theater and support the art. So yeah. that's Agreed. Just ridiculous.
But one of the shows that was on the OK to see list was Aida, which you and I have spoken of several
Love
times
that
here.
Show.
So let's listen to a little bit, shall we?
We It's all worked out, my
road is clear. We are BAC
we
Key
are.
Back. This is Lisa Sheps and Nicole Shiro of Offstage and On the Air on KOOP Hornsby Austin. We have been talking. We just got finished talking to Ebony Stewart.
We did.
Her show Hunger. It just sounds marvelous.
And we were
and
all in the studio here just saying yep. that was delightful.
And when she's left the studio now, so when she comes back and listens to this on the podcast, which of course she will.
Absolutely.
She Sorry, needs to know that when we were here as a group talking about her and saying really great things.
Lovely things.
Trying to figure out how we're going to get to see it and still do our own stuff at the
exactly.
same time.
Exactly.
Speaking of our own stuff at the same time, the other people here in the studio with us are Carl Gonzalez, our Michael Klinkscales, and Becky Musser of City Theater's production of A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum.
Did it?
Yes.
It did.
Tell me what happened.
So I'm going to just go out to on a limb and say a lot of people that listen to the show may not be familiar with this show.
Oh, really?
I'm going to just say
that's
that.
That's true. I know my mom's not.
Really?
So somebody tell us about Pseudolus and Gang.
Well, they both point at me.
Yep. I was about to say, they didn't just point. They gave you jazz hand opening.
Yes, jazz hands. Well, it's a very funny telling. Isn't this Sondheim's first?
It is.
The first one that he wrote
his first
the lyrics and music.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. West Side was his first lyric.
Which was part of the trivia question.
Oh.
I'm just kidding with you guys.
Gotta stop talking about that. And it's basically about three houses in Rome and the hilarity that ensues. There's mistaken identity. There's courtesans. There's all kinds of things happening in the show.
Yeah, it is a romp roaring.
It's a raucous guitar.
So, the character Pseudolus was played on Broadway recently by Nathan Lane.
And Whoopi Goldberg.
I was like,
and Whoopi Goldberg
him at
played
one
point. It. Mm-hmm. Zero Mostel. He did it in the film. Did he originate the role on Broadway?
Yes.
Yes.
And he originated the role on Broadway. Famously, Jack Gilford was also in the film. Those of us of a certain age, like our Michael and I,
what?
We'll remember the Cracker Jacks commercial. Do you remember the Cracker Jacks commercial with him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway.
I'm not that much younger than you. I remember some of these things.
You, I'm exactly. happy to have you in the club.
I'll put my glasses on and remind you.
Didn't Michael Crawford play Hero in
yes,
the film?
Yes, he did in the film.
Amazing.
Yeah, which I just looked up the other day.
You know what? He did, didn't
yes,
he? I haven't Hero. Seen that film in a long time either.
That's where he looks like he never aged. Like,
right.
For at least like a few
Doing years. Botox before everyone else?
Maybe he did.
So, Carl, what role are you playing?
I am playing Senex.
Which one is that?
He is the old man who thinks that his new maid is in love with him because he's apparently the most attractive man on the planet.
According to him.
According to him, of course.
And Becky Musser, I'm guessing you play the maid?
Well, she's not actually.
Because you just made a face.
I did. I play Philia, who right. is the love interest of the young hero.
Right.
She's also a courtesan, but a virgin. And
seems like a contradiction of terms. Doesn't
it? It does. It does. But they're worth more if they're virgins. So
that's true. How many times? Yeah. Anyway, so that's actually we were talking. I'm going to take a quick divergent, but funny thing on the way to the forum has there's a whorehouse that sort of sits at the center of this, and when we talk about high schools not letting people do Rent. Forum is one of the shows that they allow,
along
to
with
go
Best
through.
Little Whorehouse right. in Texas. Weekend, anyway, it's mind-boggling. Yes,
yeah.
The Forum's a hilarious. I love Forum.
So it's fun, and you know what? I have not seen. I don't think I've ever seen the stage version. I know I've seen the film a couple times, but there's not a lot of women. It's not. There's not. Is there a great deal of? It doesn't seem like there's a great deal of female leads.
Right. There's really only two primarily. Right. There's Cynix's wife, Domina, and Philia. And then, of course, you have all of the courtesans as well. But as far as like,
right.
you know, major
meaty
players,
roles.
Yeah.
Yeah. We need to change that. I'm going to.
Esteban was just starting out. You know, give him a little.
He did not write the. He didn't write the book. Did he?
No. I
no,
know.
Yeah, he didn't write the
Who wrote the book? Do you know?
It was in the trivia question, but I can tell you.
Oh, right, right. Bert Chevrolet and Hoji Magoshi. So
Larry Gelphart.
Larry Gelphart. Yep. So this is opening this week.
It is Friday night.
Are y'all like crazy fun? You're the fun part of the production. Yes,
that's
right. Oh, yeah. Fun part of the production.
Well, listen, we were talking before the show about playing a cappella. Y'all still want to do that?
Sure,
yeah,
you guys.
Why not?
Oh, that's exciting!
Right, we can try. So we have the song we want to do for you, but normally we do it with the whole cast,
right?
So we've kind of chopped it up a little bit.
It's a little chopped up version.
It's a mix.
Yeah, it's a little mix.
And it's Comedy Tonight, isn't it?
That's yes, Comedy Tonight.
Okay, great. So this is Carl Gonzalez, Becky Musser, and R. Michael Klingscales doing a chopped up version of Comedy Tonight from City Theater's production of A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum. That's a lot of words.
Yes. Playgoers, I bid you welcome. The theater is a temple, and we are here to worship the gods of comedy and tragedy. Tonight, I am pleased to announce a comedy. We shall employ every device we know in our desire to divert you. Something familiar, something peculiar, something for everybody, comedy tonight.
Something that's gaudy,
something that's body,
something for everybody, comedy tonight.
Nothing that's grim,
nothing that's Greek.
She plays Medea later this week.
Stunning surprises, cunning disguises, hundreds of actors out of sight. Tragedy tomorrow, comedy tonight.
Yay, there's that harmony note we talked about. That's fun. I love that.
I love the show. Piece. They were singing it, and it made me just giggle about the whole show. And how I'm like, you know, you just giggle through the whole show like that.
It's a
giggle fest for, especially like I think the audience, the target audience, may have been like 15-year-old boys, but it's still fun. It's still very fun.
Speaking of target audience, is it okay to bring the family to this one?
You know, I think it is. You know, I have little kids of my own.
Yep.
I have two 10-year-old daughters and a 15-year-old and an 18-year-old. And they can come if they want to. You know, there's a little risque, but nothing too naughty. It's a little bawdy, but
it's a little bawdy.
Bawdy,
not naughty.
I like that.
And what night do y'all open specifically? Friday night.
This Friday.
At the City Theater. How long do y'all play?
4 weekends through September 20th.
Through
Thursday
September 20th?
Through Sundays, except for this first week when we open on Friday.
Right, you open on Friday. And who's your director?
Joe Missy Falacco. Barnes and Joe Falacco. We had co-directors.
Yeah, co-directors.
Married couple.
Have they directed at City Theater before?
No, I don't think they have.
No.
I was about to say I do. Yeah, I don't recognize them. How many people are in your cast?
Is roughly 20?
Yeah, a lot. I was looking at the cast list, and I'm always amazed, you know, how many people City Theater stuffs into that little theater.
Yeah. Whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's
got to make for a vibrant Comedy Tonight opening.
Oh, it does.
It does. Comedy, yeah. So multiply the voices you heard by 5, 10.
More than that.
20, 50,
almost 7.
Well, that's great. So where can folks go to get more information about the show?
CityTheaterAustin.org.
Well, great. Well, thank y'all for being on the
show.
I hope you'll join
here.
Us backstage.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you. Hopefully definitely. You won't get lost on your way back there.
Yeah.
It's a little treacherous.
I'll turn on the light.
Thank you.
That was Becky Musser, Carl Gonzalez, and R. Michael Klinkscales of City Theater's production of A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum, playing at the City Theater on the 28th of this month through September 20th. For more information, citytheater.org. Let the captain wait. Well, that was a fun. You know, wait, the time
always
scattered
goes
by so quickly.
I know.
Upsets me.
Me too.
But thank you.
Because I love my time with you and our guests.
So Nicole and I are going to scatter off to the backstage for those of you who are listening to the podcast, and we'll learn the answer to the trivia question, which is Comedy Tonight, that song you just heard, replaced another song, and what was the name of that song? So we'll learn the answer to that at the top.
Yes.
Remember to like us on Facebook.
Yes.
To tweet us on Twitter.
Tweety tweet.
To
Stitch us on the Stitcher.
Stitch us on the Stitcher, thank you.
But the best way.
Go ahead.
Lisa and Nicole, delivered in your mailbox. Voila,
that's
we're
right.
There.
Offstage and on air, offstageonair.com. Put your name in. Austin Monitor News is next, followed by Another Bottle Down. We'll be back next week when we look at what's happening offstage and on the air.
Bye, Lisa.
Air stand still. Thick with rain that hasn't
Well, here we are
yet.
Backstage. After the curtain came down on the musical of all musicals that didn't exist, the non-existent musical.
The non-existent musical.
We've actually spent some time here chatting with our guests for the past 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And somebody, the engineer recording this, forgot to press the record button. So we're all going to pretend like this is the first time we're saying some of our answers. We are here with Becky Musser backstage.
Yay.
Yay again, Carl Gonzalez.
Hello.
And our Michael Klinkscales.
Hey.
You know, it's hard to say very quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's hard to spell, too.
Well, I wouldn't even try. Let's go straight to
the trivia.
The trivia question, which we now all know the answer to, but we'll try to recreate our
shock and surprise.
Our shock and
you
surprise.
Just tell me what you said your answer was before.
Yep.
Okay, so Jerome Robbins came into the Funny Thing to help give some doctoring for the out-of-town tryouts. His most valuable suggestion was to replace the opening number with something more in keeping with the frenetic, hilarious tone of the show. Sondheim's solution was Comedy Tonight, which let the audiences know exactly what they were going to get. Which song did Comedy Tonight replace? A, Invocation. B, Once Upon a Time. C, The Echo Song. D, Love Is in the Air. Or E, I Do Like You.
Okay, now we've all voted on this before. We all know the answer, but what was your original vote, R. Michael?
D, Love Is in the
Air. Love Is in the Air. And Carl?
I actually had said C, but then changed to D at the last minute.
Yeah, due to what? Peer pressure.
Peer pressure. Peer pressure. Not gonna lie.
Yeah, because R. Michael likes it.
But you still did replace it before the answer was given.
That's true. So you get credit.
You were in the time frame. Yes.
For like, we still don't know whether you're correct or not, but you're going to get credit if you are correct.
Yeah.
Becky, what did you say?
I also said D.
Yeah.
And Lisa, what was your answer?
I also said D, Love Is in the Air.
Well, I just want to let all of you know, you were correct.
What?
D, Comedy Tonight replaced Love Is in the Air, which had replaced Invocation, which later ended up in The Frogs.
Which I made mention is Sondheim's best piece.
You love The Frogs.
No, I was being sarcastic.
Oh. That's why I'm looking at you like, you love The
yeah.
Frogs.
No, been sarcastic. Been okay. sarcastic.
You can be that's a good one.
Yeah. So we were talking about, before we figured out that we weren't recording, our high school experiences and talking just in general about musicals. And y'all did musicals. Everybody?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
I did not do musicals in high school.
You know,
aww.
I think we talked about that once. I find that sad, Lisa.
You did musicals in high school, did you not?
Yes.
Oh, hells to the yes.
That's what I started with. Yeah, I just love me some musicals.
So what was your first musical?
Mine?
Yes, the first musical
Lisa
that you performed.
This one. Annie.
Annie. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Played Molly.
Anyone else want to answer?
Yeah, everybody's got to answer now.
Pirates of Penzance.
Oh, that's wow. a good one.
Great. I loved
that's
it.
Bold,
in high school, y'all did Pirates?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's bold.
Okay. You're a modern general junging of a modern semi-general.
Something like that.
Something like that.
Animal, vegetable, mineral.
Whatever.
Becky? Mine was actually from third grade, and it was a musical called We Like Sheep.
Oh, I kind of like
don't
that.
We all?
Yes, exactly. When I lived in New York, Times Square, that was a very popular yes. musical.
What was yours, Michael?
Little Mary Sunshine.
Oh,
oh yeah, interesting.
It's time for a revival of that thing.
I did do. Doctoring. I did do. My very first musical was before high school. You Are a Good Man, Charlie Brown.
Oh, yes, oh. you do.
Our Michael and I shared a role.
Ah,
yeah, I played Charlie Brown.
Love that's that part. Right. Love that.
It was fun.
Talked about
it was
you.
Fun.
You've talked many. Times
I've talked about Charlie Brown because I was
that.
Charlie Brown. Still am. Did I mention my dog hates me?
No.
Yeah, I know. I'm just going to sit here with a bag over my head. Very good question. Straight plays. What was your first straight play? Anybody? Ooh, and do you prefer comedy to drama?
In a straight play? Personally?
Yes.
I like the drama.
You like the drama?
I agree. Mm-hmm. Drama.
I would agree with
straight.
That, yeah.
Oh, I like the comedy.
Yeah, I'm gonna say I like the comedy. Yeah. Comedy's more difficult, I believe. Yeah. Arguably more difficult. Mm-hmm. It's hard to play comedy.
It
you
is.
Know,
yeah.
Not every, you know, people say I'm funny, but they're talking about my looks.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. She's yeah. here every week.
Yeah. And I am. That's true.
No I was lie. Promoting something correct.
Where did you go to college, Carl? We had learned earlier before we stopped recording that you did grew up here in Austin, and we ascertained that was in Texas.
Correct.
So did you stay in Austin to go to college?
Because
I hear tell there's a school here.
Yes, I did not actually. I went just about half an hour down the road to Texas State University.
Oh, you went far and wide.
Oh, yeah.
Which has a good drama program.
Great
drama.
Fantastic. I had some amazing teachers at that
Now, is there a coincidence that you went to Texas State and the director of the piece you're now doing is at Texas State?
There is not. I had no idea who he was.
Oh, okay.
He didn't know me either. So,
I mean, you could tell us.
Really, he's actually an English teacher down at Texas State. So
paths didn't cross, so to speak.
Right.
No, Becky, where'd you grow up?
I grew up everywhere.
Oh, we talked about that. Oh, but we didn't record it.
Yeah, we didn't record it.
So, you talked about going to high school in Colorado,
right?
Or do you call it Colorado or Colorado?
I guess I say Colorado.
Okay. Sort of in between.
In between. Yeah. I was going to say, wow, that was really in between.
Fancy.
Near Boulder. And that's where you did, where did you do that? The sheep show.
Oh, the sheep show was in.
That was third grade, I believe.
Yeah, that was in Plano, Texas.
Plano.
Of course.
Do you remember any of the songs from it?
Well, there was one called We Like Sheep. And so we all had these little sheep ears. And so we'd see. We like sheep, and then we flip the ears, and we like sheep, flip.
Okay,
we
are you flipping
like
them with your hands?
Because sheep is what we are, because sheep is what we are. We think they're the best by far. We like sheep, because sheep is what we are.
Oh, my gosh.
I found my new anthem.
And you know, sheep go to heaven.
Yes.
All sheep go to heaven.
That's true.
Goats go to hell.
Oh, my gosh. I love that you remember that, by the way.
Yeah, it has stuck with me. That's a very...
Well, I remember that the very first show I was ever in was at the Alley Theater in their merry-go-round program. I was 9 years old, and it was a show called The Yellow Brick Road, and I played the Seven of Hearts in the Alice in Wonderland scene, and this was our thing. Paint roses white, paint roses red. I'd like to paint the queen instead. Hup, two, three, four. Hup, two, three, four.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I love it.
Oh, my God, Lisa.
Who else remembers some of their childhood theater?
I mean, it's theater that you guys would know, so to me it's not as awesome as
you never did any of these
my local
first,
lyrics. No.
My first show, my first straight play was Jonathan's Thanksgiving, and I think the fourth or fifth grade, and I played Jonathan's father, and I remember having, I don't remember any lines from it, but I remember having a cold and my nose dripping through the whole thing, and I must have been, you know, third or fourth grade, and just kept wiping my nose on my sleeve through the whole show. Disgusting.
That's disgusting.
But that was, you know, it was drama. It was a very serious kid drama.
I know.
But now I did a whole bunch of stuff when I moved to New York. I did a whole bunch of original pieces, and one of the shows I did was called Felicia Flounder.
Okay, that's another great name.
And
Did you play Felicia Flounder?
No, I played Sebastian the Unstunk Skunk.
Oh.
And it was a musical. And I had a song about not being able to
oh my God, you have to sing that one.
Felicia the Unstunk Skunk. I don't remember. I do remember the chorus. Oh no. Yeah, no. I do remember a chorus of the show, and it went floop floop pupper glubble floop floop pupper glubble, something like that. Anyway.
That's hilarious, Lisa.
Yeah. Without boring people into details, I realize I did just confuse two different shows in one show. I actually stage managed Felicia Flounder. Sebastian the Unstunk Skunk was a play with music for children.
They still sound
They were
awesome.
Both for children. Everybody do children's theater here?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Love the children's theater.
Love the children's. Yeah.
Love the children's,
right? Yeah.
So, Becky, why did you move around? Are you a child of a armed service person?
No, my dad's a geophysicist.
My next guest was going to be a geophysicist. Brat.
Yep, there you go.
Wow, a geophysicist. How cool is that?
Yeah, it's pretty neat. Yeah, so I lived in Indonesia for a while.
Who didn't?
My folks, right? Obviously,
that was the next guest.
My folks are in Denmark now. So,
very good. Is he still?
Geophysicing? As far as I know, every time I ask him what he does, I have
Flemish
no idea what he does.
Oh, maybe he's not really. Maybe he's a geophysicist the same way that Harrison Ford in that movie.
Oh, Indiana Jones.
Indiana Jones was a history teacher.
Yeah. For all I know. I mean,
wow, cool. And what did you go to school for theater? Or did you go to school for geophysicists?
No. Well, I went to school for theater and music.
Donde?
Right.
Where?
Trinity University in San Antonio.
In San Antonio. A very dear friend of mine graduated from that school.
Yeah, originally I was going to
That's, by the way, in Texas as well.
Yes, it is. I was going to double major in theater and history and minor in music so I could have a, you know, quote, real major that would get me a job, but history doesn't get people jobs.
I was like, doesn't really get a job.
Might as well
either.
Just do the theater and music.
Mm-hmm. Did you do classical music?
I did. I actually worked with San Antonio Opera and stuff a little bit while I was there.
Did you sing Tulo Sai?
I did not. I dodged that bullet. That's hilarious.
I asked that question.
That's why I looked at you. I was like, oh, Lisa.
That's one of my standards.
Yes, it is.
Did you sing Tulo Sai, Michael?
No.
No, okay.
I had friends who sang that song.
Carl, did you sing Tulo Sai?
No.
Okay.
That's hilarious.
Nicole sang Tulo Sai.
I have.
In her cabaret. It's a Cantor and Ebb show song. Really isn't. I have no idea who wrote it. Somebody probably who is no longer alive.
Like someone who's dead.
And I know you've told us, R. Michael, but refresh my memory.
Again.
Whereabouts did you grow up?
Well, I lived in Dallas when I was a child, but then I really grew up in Michigan. Michigan.
Which part?
I'm going to hold up my hand so that it's a mitten, and I'm going to point right to the center of the mitten.
Is that like the Kalamazoo-y kind of area?
Actually, I went to school in Kalamazoo.
Okay. Northern Michigan
Western
State.
Western Michigan University.
I knew
Go Broncos.
Yeah.
But actually, Lansing is the center of the state. It's the capital, but I grew up in Grand Ledge.
There's a lot of grands.
Right outside of Lansing, Grand Ledge.
There's a lot of grands in Michigan.
Grand
Rapids, Grand Isle, Grand Haven.
Grand Lisa.
Grand Lisa. I love it. So, so you're a Michigander.
I was born in California, and we lived in Florida. We traveled around.
Oh, don't tell me. Geophysicist.
No, NASA. He worked for NASA.
Yeah, space scientist?
Yeah.
That's lovely.
So cool.
That's good. Okay. A friend of mine was a space
scientist.
Lisa
and I want to go to space camp still.
We do.
I would love to do that.
They have adult
so
space
here's
camp
a,
now.
So here's a good theater question. We need to get this back to theater. If you were offered that Mars trip, would you take it?
No. You want to go.
I would so do that.
I know. You said this to me, and I'm like,
no, am I the only one?
No. Yeah.
Well, I feel like it depends on who else is going.
You don't get to choose.
I know you don't get to choose. They choose.
They're already
chosen. But if you end up going to Mars with a bunch of people that you don't get along with, that's going to be the worst because you're going to die up there.
I find it weird. Like this one lady who's going,
leaving her kids and her husband. She's like, that's see you later. That's a little bananas.
Well, you don't know what their lives are like.
Well, I was going to say.
So,
I couldn't leave my kids.
What?
I couldn't leave my kids.
Yeah, that would be hard.
Well, my husband would kill me. He would kill me if I did that. I would never make it into space.
Those kids will have mommy issues instead of daddy issues, and they can get together with Ebony.
No, they don't have daddy issues.
Because my youngest son is from Russia, and when he came from Russia, when we adopted him, they call all the women over there mama. They call all the men papa. And just on his own, he started calling me mama papa because my role. Now, since then, of course, they call me daddy, but I don't think they're going to have mommy issues. Even my girls say, you're really like my mommy.
So anybody else have kids?
Nope.
Nope.
No. So are you
not that they know of.
Not that I know. Becky has no idea.
Just running around.
Are any of your kids interested in theater? Or Michael?
No.
No.
My oldest son just started Texas State, and he's a singer, but he seems to want to be the next Justin Bieber.
Okay. Has he sung Too Low Sigh yet?
No. Has he sung Too Low Sigh?
Did Justin Bieber sing it?
Yes.
Who knows?
Well, then he's going to sing it.
He probably
did. He's going to sing it.
Who knows? Yeah, so he likes the performance aspect.
Yes.
He just doesn't want to sing Surrey with a Fringe on Top.
No, doesn't want to act with it. Wants to dance when he's singing. He's a pretty good dancer.
That's good. Yeah.
So if you were going to leave Austin to pursue more opportunities in theater, where would you go?
It's actually been something I've been thinking a lot about lately.
Let's hear it.
Some of the two front runners are Pittsburgh and Chicago.
Okay, Pittsburgh is a surprise to hear. Understand Chicago. Tell us about why Pittsburgh.
Well, it's funny because one of my good friends who is Seidel in the Fiddler that I did last year, she's from there. Yes. She's from there, and so is Adam Roberts, actually. And they've been talking it up a lot. And
Kelvy enjoyed it there.
Yeah, there's a lot of really great theater happening up there. And there's actually a lot of equity theater happening. So
a lot of arts,
paid.
A lot of sports, and a lot of money for their culture in that city.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, let's be clear about equity. Just because it's equity doesn't mean you get paid a living wage by any
stretch
of the imagination.
No. But, you know, it's better than nothing.
Yeah. I vote for Chicago.
Yeah, I have a lot of friends in Chicago, and that's the other reason.
We've both lived there. We'll both tell you it's awesome.
I would vote for Chicago. It's a good
cold
thing. Although the theater is a very tight knit community and very hard to get into, but once you're there, you're doing good.
Nice.
Good people.
What about you, Carl? Where would you go?
Oh, that's actually something my wife, Lacey, and I have been talking about recently as well. Is we're of course thinking about, you know, of course New York.
Of course.
The other place that we recently visited was Seattle, though.
Mm-hmm.
We absolutely loved it. I have a couple of friends up there that are working a lot, and apparently the equity theaters are growing in Seattle, so we're really interested, and we just loved it. So
yeah, I don't know much about the theater scene there, but it's a beautiful town.
Oh yeah, we loved it so much.
Yeah, it's a great area, and Portland is right there, so you can actually choose from a pool of two major metropolitan areas to perform in.
Exactly.
Okay,
and
I approve.
You can take a lovely little ferry ride and go up to the best place in Canada.
Vancouver. I wish the video were running today because
Michael's
you have
faces are
you
phenomenal.
Have been making some wonderful faces.
Why, thank you.
So if you do you have a place on your list that you would go to if you were to leave
Chicago, because I too love Chicago. I grew up not too far from there, and
yeah,
saw some
and Ypsilanti
theater there. It's very near Lansing. Not really, but you know, good.
It is Chicago. Actually.
Yes, it is too cold, but I love Chicago.
So you know what? I tell people that there's no difference between the winters in Chicago and the summers here.
I disagree. Well, I can handle the summers here. I
can't handle the summers here, and I can't handle
the
winters in Chicago.
Cold over heat any day.
Chicago's a great town.
It's a great, great city.
It's a great town. And people would tell me I moved from New York to Chicago, and people say, which do you like better? And I couldn't answer that because they're apples and oranges. They're very
totally
different.
Totally different.
Very different cities. So what's another good theater question to go out on our conversation back here? Nicole Shiro, help me.
What's your most embarrassing moment?
Yeah, let's talk about embarrassing moments on stage. I have one. I'll start.
Okay.
I was working on Broadway, and I injured myself on the show, and I had to the swing had to come in and take over for me, and I was not wearing underwear, and I had to give up my costume.
And you had to strip right there.
I had to strip right backstage right. That was pretty darn embarrassing. Not to mention the fact that I fell down in the middle of a number.
There was a whole other show going on backstage.
There was. So that's my embarrassing moment. Anybody else?
Well, I know just a couple years ago, I was in a production of Merchant of Venice out at the Curtin Theater, and Robert Stevens was playing Graciano to my Nerissa, and somehow managed to untie my skirt while we were embracing. And so Robert. I ended up spending the entire final scene and jig at the end holding my skirt up.
Yeah.
And that was delightful.
That's
wow.
Could have been very embarrassing.
It could have.
Oh, I flashed.
Michael, what about you?
It would have been high school, Guys and Dolls. During the Sit Down, You're Rocking the Boat number, I'm singing, and one of the benches breaks, and they all just slide onto the floor.
Like dominoes.
It's high school, and they're like, oh, look at me, look at me. I'm like, guys, I'm singing here. So it was embarrassing, but, you know, looking back on it, super funny.
Yeah, it's hysterical.
Right. Carl, can you top that?
Maybe, no, not really, but okay. Mine was a few years ago, I was in Anything Goes, and during the big tap dancing number, my pants got caught on one of the sides of the flats that we were using, like a nail was sticking out, and it just ripped my pants off to where I was just like...
Daisy Dukes?
I just... It was like I had pants...
Did you keep dancing?
I kept dancing.
It's a consummate professional.
Thank God I was wearing underwear. Otherwise, it would have turned into like La Caja Faults or something. Yeah, like that
would have been La Caja Faults.
Faults.
I love that. Monty. What about you, Nicole Shiro?
I got a few, but...
We're going to ask you to choose one.
But since you guys are all going on the clothes falling off, I was in a production of The Boyfriend touring through New York, played Maisie. We were doing the Riviera number. And there's a reprise when you come back in, and... You know, your beads are supposed to hang straight in the 20s, so I had to have these large Italian bosoms wrapped. And I put my hands up in the air, front and center, singing, and the little genie costume that I had on for the party and the wrap and everything fell in my...
There you were.
Flash the audience boobies.
Awesome.
There right in the middle of singing.
I believe you win.
Yeah, you do win.
I went with that one for you since you were on the nudity clothes falling off. Yeah.
So I do want to make a shameless plug at Ground Floor Theater. We've got the Forever Plaid playing at the theater right now. And I do make a cameo appearance.
Ooh. I know what you do.
And I make a cameo appearance. And actually, you made me think of it. I had a skirt on the other night that was a little too big for me. And as I was walking up to the stage...
Did you flash?
No, but I had to... I'm holding a package and I had to drop the package so I could... Because the skirt was coming off.
But did you have on panties?
Yes. Yeah. No. Stop it. The days of no underwear are over. I believe I learned that lesson.
No commando, Lisa, we are performing.
So I think we know what song we're listening to right now, right? Our Michael knows what we're listening to.
Wearing underwear today.
There you go. Yes.
There we go.
Thank you guys for being on the show. Well, either that or Too Low Side, one of the two. Thanks for joining us backstage. This is a little bit of a different format for backstage.
It was, but you know what? I enjoyed myself. I love this segment.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks. We'll see y'all later. Don't trip on your way out. Bye.
Bye.
I'm not wearing underwear today.